back to the second hour of We the People Radio. If you missed the first hour, you missed a lot because it was actually pretty fun and very informative. You can find all that information at wethepeopleradio.us. Who, pray tell, is our sponsor, Bill?
This hour, our sponsor is Team Power. And Team Power is our local Kubota tractor dealer up in Shasta Lake, California. And those folks do everything tractors. Tractors, mowers, anything on the farm, they can take a look at it for you.
Or in your yard.
Or in your yard, yeah. Yeah, they don't do rakes and shovels and hose, but, you know, they do all the mechanical stuff.
Yeah, who does work like that anymore?
Nah.
That's silly.
Uh-uh.
It's things with seats.
Yeah. Seats and motors. Yeah.
We even have a picture of our guest on a Kubota tractor. I forgot about that. Well, we should post that again.
Yeah. It's like I've always told you, if it doesn't have a seat or run on batteries, I'm not using it.
That opens up a whole different
we'll leave it alone.
Ashley is looking at me through the window going, she's not really going to say anything about that, is she?
Yeah.
No, I am.
Okay. Well, that wasn't part of the Team Power ad, but you can reach them at 226-9226. Or get them on the web at readingtractors.com. Let's bail out of that.
That was a great picture of me on that tractor, though, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Thank God. Get us away from the batteries.
And I'm going to tell you, that tractor company never thought I could do a wheelie on that tractor. But boy, did I show them.
Oh, yeah. For as long. And you held it. Yeah, you held it for good, I don't know,
nothing like
30 feet.
Nothing like burning rubber and ag tires.
And I told you all that the car I hit, it would be fixed. And it was just a minor scratch.
It wasn't a big deal.
Yeah, the loader bucket jammed through the driver's side door. But hey, other than that.
Well, okay. But boy, that tractor, was that a good
tractor?
That 3-point
hitch is still in good shape.
Yeah, that's true.
Nothing happened to the tractor. That thing is a mammoth beast. Is that picture up on the... website?
No, we'll post it.
I'm going to get working on that right away, actually.
Well, because I'm thinking of the people in France. They're going, what? What is this? Oh, yeah, they'll love that. The people in Nigeria and in France. And what is the other country that's...
There's bunches of them. Ukraine has a lot of listeners, too. Hi, Ukrainians.
Hello, all the Ukrainians out there.
Yeah.
Bill and Aaron won't say anything to you.
Macedonians, there's only like two, so Hillary would be disappointed in us. But
you might even start a international tractor challenge. You know,
that would be a challenge.
Challenge.
If we're going to have it start it in France.
The tractor challenge.
And see, your sponsor could sponsor me because he'd give me the same tractor I used when I did that wheelie. And, oh, I love this.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'd have to put you on the road.
The bicycles are out.
The
Tour de France is it's a tractor race.
Tour de Trancor.
So they have the Tour de France, and then there's Dr. Lyle with the big tractor coming.
Yeah, be the Tour de France. Is there a France, Texas? There's a, there's a Paris.
There's a Paris, Arkansas, Oklahoma.
That's where you need to hold it.
Yeah.
You can hold it in Paris. So, hey, just in case people wanted to know who was talking, just for fun. So my name's Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
Who's our guest? To blame.
Yeah, and our guest.
And our guest is Dr. Lyle Rapacki. And he comes on periodically with us and shares with us all sorts of fun information, things that, I don't know, a lot of times, I don't know about everybody else, but, you watch the, we'll call it news, and it's like the same stuff, Mueller, special report, blah, blah, blah. And it's kind of about time we started to learn some different things, and it's time we got out a little bit more. How's that? So, okay, let's finish up our topic on Israel. You had a couple things for us.
You did
from the Foist Awa. Don't try to get away.
Well, I think what we were finishing up with is the cultural change that's occurring in America, where there is more of an anti-Semite atmosphere today than ever before in America. We've seen it worldwide. I mean, the people in France would know about this very firsthand, more than we, because they lived it in World War II and World War I. But there is definitely anti-Semitism rising. So the hatred of the Jews is on the rise worldwide, and it's happening here in the United States, and I would have never guessed that something like that would happen. I don't mean that somebody disagrees with them or they don't even like them, but we're talking about pure hatred that's beginning to abound. And we're seeing it in all places, in the Congress, on the floor of the Congress.
That just blows my mind that that's allowed.
To me, it's mouth-dropping. I defend the right of people to have differences of opinion. One of my mentors taught me that it's difference of opinion that makes horse races. And I think when Mark Twain said that, it was really right on, because it's okay to have differences of opinion. That's fine. But to have hatred spewing from your mouth and to be a leader of this nation and on the floor of the Congress and to have that spewing is something that is very, very troubling. And I think it denotes what's taking place across this nation with people who have not been challenged with their thoughts and their beliefs. They've just been allowed to get away with them and say them. Let me, if I may, read something, a couple of things that might be entertaining.
We love entertaining. Obviously.
This is coming from Hillsdale College. That they put out a publication called Imprimis, and Hillsdale is just a fantastic university.
Oh, yeah, I love those guys.
I don't work with them. I'm not associated with them. I don't get a check from them, but I don't get a check from you guys either. But anyway, but they put out a wonderful publication here. And in this, the latest publication, they talk about, for instance, a 134-year-old painting in Notre Dame that was covered up because it was Christopher Columbus. And the president of Notre Dame, John Jenkins, covered it up because it was so controversial. And it was to tell the full story of Christopher Columbus, and it failed to do that, so said a lot of the millennials. And so what he said is, and I'm quoting, "We might call this monument controversy, and what happened at Notre Dame here is a case in point, where a vocal minority claiming victim status demands the destruction, removal, or concealment of some object of which they disapprove. Usually, the official response, as in Notre Dame's case, is they quickly go ahead and do that." Now, what was interesting is that Notre Dame had this picture hanging in a very chosen place for over 134 years. And we're seeing this happen across the nation, where Confederate statues or other paintings or other forms of monuments are being taken down or destroyed. And here's one. The English department at the University of Pennsylvania contributed to this monument controversy when it cheered on students who were upset that a portrait of a dead white guy named William Shakespeare was hanging in the department's hallway. So they removed that picture and they replaced it with a photograph of Audre Lorde, a black feminist writer. Students removed the Shakespeare portrait because they thought it was not inclusive.
Brother.
So they were offended by that.
Wow.
Here's in Yale's Sterling Memorial Library. There was a picture depicting an Indian and a Puritan. The Puritan, if you can believe this now, I'm reading, was holding a musket, a gun. We don't know if that Puritan was a member of the NRA or not.
More than likely.
According to the librarian of Yale, the very presence of an armed Puritan at a major entrance to Sterling was not appropriate. So the solution was to cover over the musket with a stone, but leave the Indian's bow and arrow alone. So the Indian has a bow and arrow, which is a weapon, but that's acceptable. But the musket of the Puritan is threatening. And Yale's president said, Peter Salovey, Yale's president said, quote, "Such alteration represents an erasure of history, which is entirely inappropriate at a university. The erasure history, instead of merely altering the image, he took it down completely." And this is taking place across this nation of ours, where they're erasing our history, our heritage, to make things more politically correct. But when you do that, you erase a nation's history. It's good and it's bad. It's mistakes and it's triumphs. And what do you have left? Well, and we're seeing that in Congress with the election of a couple of these newer people who are advocating Islamic doctrine, Sharia, as well as Marxism. And they're not bashful about it. They're very plain. It's not my opinion. They're very outspoken about the whole thing. And if you disagree with them, predicated on Judeo-Christian principles, or if you'll allow me even this far, American principles, we're the bad guys.
Right.
We're considered wrong for having that type of thought process. How dare we support a group of white guys? The white guys are the founders of this nation, the framers of the Constitution. They were all white. And some of them did support slavery. Go back and read your history. It's true. But they worked through
so
all
did,
of it.
So did a lot of black Africans. So, you know, we've had a lot of people, the British, let's see, the British enslaved the Dutch in South Africa, as we have learned. You know, nobody has a corner on any of these markets.
No.
But in honor to God and Guns here, we're gonna throw down a little Lynyrd Skynyrd here going into the break. And we'll be back with our guest, Dr. Lyle Rapacki, who embodies the phrase, "I didn't say it was your fault, but I did say I was blaming you." We'll be right back.
Lacked his plans, but they came undone when it got around to God and Guns. I don't know how he grew up, but it sure wasn't down at the hunting club. Because if it was, he'd understand just a little bit more about the working man. God and Guns keep us strong. That's what this country was founded on. Well, we might as well give up and run. If we let them take our God and guns. Yeah, out here in my neck of the woods, where God is great and guns are good, you really can't know that much about them if you think we're better off without them.
It's our time to take a stand. Remember who we are.
Remember who we are.
There's a call across this land. Remember who we are.
Remember who we are.
We were a city on a hill, a candle in the dark. It started long ago. Now we have come so far.
And on that note, Bill had a thought.
Yeah, how can we remember who we are if we go around tearing down our history, and because it offends us today? I mean, what happened yesterday was important. I mean, it stands as a reminder of the good and the bad and what we believed at the time. I mean, that's all important stuff. Because we have come a long way, but it doesn't mean we have to erase everything. And I think by allowing these institutions to do that, we're just condoning, I think, bad behavior today. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but
no. I think, Bill, what's happening is a deliberate, calculated, sophisticated in some ways, multidimensional plan to collapse the United States, to collapse our history, to collapse our heritage, to collapse who we are, what we stand for, and to roll us into a Marxist society and to roll us into a new world order where history is not respected because they're writing, if you will, history right now, a whole new history. And it's a global humanistic history. It's happening. Why do you think the French who are listening to your show, why do you think the French yellow vests, yellow jackets, I believe they're called, why are they fighting? Well, they're fighting not just because of gas taxes that were raised unconscionably and other forms of taxes, but they're fighting because they have finally awoken to the fact that they're losing their country. They're losing their heritage. They're losing their culture. There are big sections of Paris that are no-go zones because of the Muslims. So the Muslims are allowed in. They change the culture of France. They change everything about that area, and it's supposed to be accepted. Mm-hmm. And by the way, Frenchmen are not allowed to go into those areas.
Including the police.
Well, yeah, because they have their own police. They're doing the same thing here. New York, I just got a report, and you all may have seen it a couple of weeks ago from law enforcement there, where there's real growing problems because the Islamic community has got their own police force. They have the same cars as NYPD, white with blue lettering, the whole thing. It's,
wow.
But it says Muslim, Islamic police department, Islamic police, I think. And there's pictures all over the internet now of this. The game plan is to eliminate the culture, the heritage of the United States of America. And it's being supported by globalists. The open borders crowd, one dimension of this is to bring in people who will help vote Democrat and forevermore eliminate any conservative movement. That's just one dimension to this. But what's not spoken of, as if that was not bad enough, is to give all of these people from anywhere in the world who come into America, give them the same rights, privileges, abilities as every American without having to come and become American. They do not come in here like our grandparents did, our great-grandparents did through Ellis Island, where they waited in line. They waited years to get in, and then they had to wait in line, and then they had to go through all sorts of tests and screening, and they gladly did so to become Americans. Now, they didn't forget their Italian heritage, French heritage, Polish heritage, whatever. They did not.
Don't forget the Irish.
Along with their Polish heritage, French heritage, whatever heritage, they adopted the United States of America, and they became United States citizens. And they brought with them their heritage, their traditions, and that helped enrich us. And, yes, we are a multicultural nation, but we're one nation under God. Not anymore. That's not what is taking place at our border. And all of these countries that are trying to seep in through our border, these people intend to come in, have no intention of becoming United States citizens, but they will take every item, every benefit, every privilege they can get without paying anything into it and without becoming United States citizens. Again, to collapse the United States.
Right. Well, the thing is, too, when you came in through Ellis Island, there was a sense of pride that you know you were becoming an American. You pledged allegiance to the flag. And these folks that come in now, they want to bring the culture they're running away from. They want to bring that here and throw out everything that's here now and kind of restructure what they're running away from, which makes no sense to me.
No, and we don't have the leaders that we used to have who are willing to stand up. I don't care if it's in Congress or wherever. That's one of the reasons Mr. Trump is such a lightning rod. He has stood up and publicly proclaimed his allegiance to the United States of America. Now, go figure.
Yeah.
I mean, President of the United States, professing such allegiance.
And that makes him a horrible bigot, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, which is kind of funny.
I mean, when did that become a
bad thing?
A bad thing.
Yeah.
Well, you go back and you take a look at colleges that no longer teach citizenship, civics, whatever you want to call it. There was a colleague of mine, his son just took his ACTs for college entrance, and there were no questions on civics or U.S. history.
That's because the people in Hollywood that are faking the exams to get their kids in don't know anything about it and couldn't pass. Just a thought.
It is.
Yeah.
But again, it's a part of rewriting our nation to fit what they intend for us to become.
Mm-hmm.
What will make it better is if we can lower the voting age to 16.
I've always thought that people who are 16 should vote.
Yeah.
How it goes?
They don't know anything about how our government works. And we're going to let them vote.
Yep.
Yeah.
Another step in the wrong direction.
Oops. Well, and that's one of the, again, we talked about the billions of dollars going to the Middle East under the proposed plan, Middle East plan. Those billions of dollars would more than clearly secure our border, help law enforcement, all of that. But no, they have no intention of putting monies into maintaining the sovereignty of this nation. But they'll give it away elsewhere. It's
crazy.
Makes no rhyme or reason.
No. How about this? Let's break just like a half a minute early for a change. Totally confusing. Probably messed up the whole show. And then we'll come right back. We need to get an update from you on the border. How's that?
When there we were all in one place. A generation lost in space. With no time left to start again. So come on, Jack, be nimble. Jack, be quick. Jack Flash sat on a candlestick. Stage, my hands were clenched in fists of rage. No angel born in hell could break that Satan spell. And
I can do it. Let's go.
Now everybody has this notion. Come to the USA. Don't you worry about money. Stupid Americans pay. Yeah, they'll pay for your health care. Kids' education, too. Just sneak across the border, and they'll take care of you. Well, they're crossing from Tijuana and California's line, and up in Vancouver, nobody seems to mind. In containers from China, yeah, you can stow away. To the USA.
That's a catchy tune right there.
Oh my goodness. Oh my gosh. Okay.
We're going to credit Rusty Humphries with that one.
Is there a whole song there? Did we cut it out?
Yeah. I've got the second half. We'll do it on the next break. I've got a part two.
Oh, that is profound.
Yeah, I thought so too. And you could actually understand what he was saying. I found that little gem on YouTube because I am now the musical coordinator.
I gave her promotion.
Did she get more pay than I?
No, it didn't come with a pay raise, just a promotion.
No, okay. You get to stay up till 2 o'clock on Saturday night.
I get more sleep.
get it done before Sunday.
Oh, so that's why you called me at 2 o'clock. Well, what are you doing?
That's Bruce's job. We all know that.
Yeah, we'll be sitting there and at like 11:30 your phone rings. I'm like, who the hell calls you at 11:30 at night?
Bruce.
That's Bruce.
Aaron.
Yeah.
So many choices.
Well,
everybody shout out
to me tomorrow because the pet sitters that we were going to talk about, pets and fleas, couldn't be on. So, call Lyle. He's not doing anything.
Call Lyle. He's just hanging around.
Yeah, call Lyle. He's not
doing anything.
Oh, my God. It really was kind of difficult to get this thing all squared away. I mean, people have no idea. First, it was the 31st and the 7th, but we're talking about pot on the 7th. And then Bruce was on today, but then he's on the 31st. It's like, oh, man. So we're actually set for the next 2 weeks. People could actually go to the schedule and look if they really want to know. But I'm not going to spoiler alert that for you. So, okay, so we've got border update and the sheriffs, and roughly 20 minutes to do it in. So
well,
you just hit that, Lyle, however you want.
On the border update, as you all know, for 10 years, a little over, I have provided elected officials and law enforcement officials updates, intelligence on border activities and threats to our sovereignty. And since October, last October, with the increase in border attempts, I was able to have a pilot actually fly our border and go way, way south into Mexico and on the border of Guatemala, Mexico, and we were able to track the caravans that were making their way northward. And not being braggadocious, I don't mean that by all means, but we were the ones that were able to report that became public information that there were four caravans, and in the first caravan there were 15,000 invaders, I called it, and then we named approximately how many in the following three caravans. And then the fourth and third caravan actually combined and became one caravan. We were able to disclose lots of intel, what they were wearing, that about 90% were males, not children and families like the press loves to report. We had pictures to that effect, intel from the ground. We were able to show that the males were, like I said, 16 to about 35 years of age, in fighting firm health. A lot of them were gangbangers, MS-13, etc. We also were able to determine and validate that they were from a variety of nations, including Middle Eastern nations at war with the United States, that these were not people from Mexico simply wanting to come north for a better life, that these were people from Middle Eastern countries way down in Africa who had no intention of becoming American citizens, but get across into America and take anything that they could get. All of this information, along with the diseases that we uncovered, all this information was sent upward to various sources in our government. And the information was so specific, so clear, and so verifiable that for about 6 months, from October until just about a month ago, we were able to be one of the sources that provided very accurate intelligence on the continuing fluid situation. With that said, what I can tell you now is that there are still thousands upon thousands inbound to our borders. They're coming from Middle Eastern countries, including Iran, as well as other countries that have no interest in becoming American citizens. The numbers are staggering. There is well over a 300% increase in the courts that process visas and process paperwork to enter the United States and or to even be considered as American citizens. The courts are broken. They're so overwhelmed. Border Patrol is overwhelmed. Border Patrol is short, I think about 2,500 last I checked. I haven't checked in a couple of weeks, but they're about 2,500 short, not to mention the staggering numbers coming up from the south. The idea was to enter the United States in Tijuana, San Diego, and then in eastern Arizona, and then in the Rio Grande area of Texas, McAllen, Texas, and the entire Rio Grande area. So they had pointed out three areas that we had learned that they were interested in crossing over. And what threw it off there for a while is that all of them were going to the Tijuana, San Diego sector. And you'll remember finally in the media, conventional, which is no longer media, but the conventional extension of the Democrat Party publicity wing, the backlog of illegals in Tijuana, to the point where there was disease breaking out, crime breaking out. The mayor of Tijuana, the citizens of Tijuana ended up pushing them, trying to get them out of their area because they were destroying the community of Tijuana. They did make a couple of attempts to rush the border, and our Border Patrol, along with other law enforcement, were able to beat them down, push them back. This is still going to happen. There are communities now based in a couple of different areas along our border, and in one sense, the goal is to have like a Gaza Strip, like we talked about at the front of the hour or last hour, like they have in Israel. There's the Gaza Strip where you have Palestinians, Hamas, and others on one side, and 100 yards over, you've got Israelis. And the Hamas people are trying to cross into Israeli territory and become invisible, if you will. Same thing's happening on our southern border. We've got communities that are beginning to be developed contiguous with our border. One can only guess that the idea is somehow, some way, they'll find a hole through our border and siphon in, slither in. They've attempted it in the San Diego region. They've been repelled three or four times now. They did the same thing in Deming, New Mexico. They were repelled. 400 were arrested the other night in El Paso. So they're coming in larger groups to bridge the border. They're not coming in groups of one and two or six. They're coming in larger numbers, hoping to overcome our forces, our defenses. And so it's really a cat and mouse game, and we're in a little trouble. There is a crisis on our southern border. Mr. Trump has successfully gotten funding, and they're moving quickly. They've already begun to establish the border wall. This business that they haven't even started is misinformation. They have started. They've pretty well secured the San Diego sector. Now they're working on the rest of the 2,000 mile. It's a 2,000 mile border. And so they've secured probably 35, 50 miles in the San Diego area. Some of Yuma, the Yuma area, about 60 miles of the Yuma border, Yuma, Arizona, has already been fairly well secured. They're just reinforcing it. And so that means they're moving their way to move quickly into areas that have no really border fence. And there's many, many miles that have no border fence. There's one string of barbed wire. And there's so many videos showing this that it's silly to say otherwise. So there is a rush to get this border wall established, get it up, get it going. We're very fortunate that the president has gone ahead and sent additional troops to the border to help support Border Patrol and other law enforcement. They will stay there until the end of September. Then I have no idea what will happen. So that's kind of a real quick update.
Now, one of the things, I don't know if people realize this, but once they cross into the United States, if they are successful in crossing that line and getting 2 feet on U.S. soil, that puts them in the system the way I understand it, and they get a piece of paper, and if it's backlogged, they get released. Now, does that only pertain to people that are seeking amnesty, or is that pretty much anyone who comes across for whatever reason? Do they get a piece of paper and get released, or does anybody get thrown back on the other side?
Yes, yes, and yes. Historically, all they had to do is cross over and holler "Ali, Ali, entry." I mean, they're in, they're safe. They could claim asylum. But what has occurred is there are border defenses now in place where they can watch them cross the border and nab them right there, and that does not constitute them claiming asylum. They have to prove why they're claiming asylum. They are taken to a facility and processed. But if they cannot prove the reasons for asylum, along with a number of other considerations, then they're released back across the border.
Okay.
That's a change in policy. Likewise, if children are dropped over the border, and there's videos to this effect where they drop them over the border, if it's determined that their parents are not the ones that drop them over, and a vast majority of them are not with parents, they're with cartel people and others who have been paid to bring these kids here to become like anchor babies. So once the child is here, thrown over the border, the idea is they're here in the United States. The United States won't take a little child, 7, 8, 9, 10, and throw them back. Therefore, they'll keep them here in the system. And once they get settled, then they can bring their mom and dad and aunts and uncles. And that's what's historically gone on. That has all stopped. They have learned, they, meaning American officials, have learned the hard way that a preponderant majority of these little people are not brought up here by parents. They're brought up here by coyotes and others. They're paid. Usually it's anywhere from $5,000 to $9,000 to bring them and smuggle them into the United States. And that's no longer being acceptable. So fortunately, they're being flown back to their parents. They're being reunited with their parents, which is one of the things Nancy Pelosi and Schumer and all these people are hollering about, is that Trump is keeping these poor little kids from their parents. Well, okay, let's send them back to their parents, because their parents are not on the border.
Right.
Which will finally disincentivize some of the human trafficking.
I don't want to break the chain here, but let's take a break and pick this up on the backside, because I heard a story where there's like 400 of them that got in and they all got released into our country. But let's take a break and we'll talk about that when we come back.
Okie dokie. Here's the second half of our snazzy little Rusty Humphries song.
Down in Guadalajara and from Pakistan, tell your friends you're leaving, let's stuff them in your van. San Francisco Bay, everybody is sneaking into the USA. Well, they're coming from the galleys down Arizona way, ask the government to stop it, and they just say no way.
Give a man a free house and he'll bust out the windows, put his family on food stamps. Now he's a big spender, no food on the table, and the bills ain't paid, cause he's spending on cigarettes and PGA. They'll turn us all into beggars, cause they're easier to please. They're feeding our people that government cheese.
And now you know why they're doing it. Okay, Bill had a question.
Yeah, there was a story here, it's probably been a month ago, where they captured, I think, 300 or 400 in a group that walked across the border, which is amazing that we have a border that is like a sieve where 400 people can cross in and not get caught until they get here. But they were all released into, I believe, El Paso or someplace after they were processed because the detention facility was full. How does that happen?
Well, I read the same report or a similar report. I can't confirm that happened. What I can say is that the facilities are overwhelmed. The court systems are overwhelmed. DHS, which is responsible not only for the security of the border, but the processing, is overwhelmed. By overwhelmed, I mean they literally are overwhelmed. There's picture, if you will, in your radio. I haven't been in your studios, but picture in your studio, I don't care how large it is, let's say 10,000 people came into your studio. Well, I doubt seriously if you could handle 10,000, maybe not even 1,000. maybe not even 500, but let's say they were there, and then they clogged your parking lot and everything else. I mean, you just could not handle it.
No.
You would be overwhelmed.
Well, there was, one of the reports said that since the first of the year, which has been, 3 months, there's like 250,000 arrested or captured. Now, not all of those have been released back into the country, but still they had to process 250,000 people since the first of the year. That sounds like a major problem to me.
It would take another segment to discuss the problems. They are alarming. They're factual. They're not philosophical. They're not opinionated. They're factual. Let me give you one fact. Only 1% of the removals, 400 or whatever number you want to put, only about 1% are on monitoring devices.
Oh, terrific.
There's not enough monitoring devices. Secondly, the monitoring devices are about 72,000 a year. You cannot do this. We cannot support this.
No.
Financially and just man-hour-wise, we cannot support what's taking place and what's still coming. It is anticipated, depending on which report you read, that in the next 12 months, and this was starting in, I'll tell you, I'm looking at it right now, is that January? Yeah. So starting in January, which is now, this is the end of March. So in 12 months from the 1st of January, there's an anticipation of 2 million to 3 million additional invaders attempting to cross our border, southern border alone.
Jeez.
And that's by people who are monitoring this stuff. Breitbart is very good, by the way, at coming up with reports and giving fact-based stuff. So 2 to 3 million more in the next 12 months. There's just no way. The system is broken. We cannot do this. So by putting up such a wall and then by reinforcing that wall even with Border Patrol and policies that say, no, you cannot just walk over. No, you can't throw somebody over. We will take them back. They are shipping them back. I'm sorry, they're airplaning them back, airlifting them back to Mexico. But that's just a cumbersome problem. There are some who must meet some form of requirement that they are given ankle bracelets and monitored and allowed to petition for asylum. But that number is well down because they were all claiming that and they had no business claiming that. Likewise, with children, the idea was to immediately take the children, secure them, make sure they were physically healthy and taken care of, and reunite them with their families. And actually, the Democrats had a lot to do with that because they were hollering that Trump and company were doing everything they could to keep them separated. So the idea was, okay, let's find out who their parents are and let's get them right back to their parents. Well, again, like 90%, the parents were in Mexico, and these kids were given to coyotes and brought this way. So they're picked up, they're housed, they're taken care of in a detention center, cleaned up, medically taken care of, and then flown back to their point of origin.
Yeah, how horrible is that? You're keeping children from the parents that gave them to a coyote.
Correct.
Yeah.
But that's not being reported. See,
none
of this is being reported because it's more emotional. It's more sensational to say that here's a little five-year-old. What are you going to – oh, this poor little five-year-old. And it just pulls on your strings, heartstrings. He just wants a better life. Well, okay.
I think we should give the five-year-old a better life and make sure the parents stay in Mexico. I mean, to give a child like that to a total stranger – to me, shows a total lack of concern for that child's well-being.
That's what they're doing, Bill.
I know it. I know
it. And the kicker is, as a country, when we put so on the one hand, it makes sense to put a to make those cases a priority. The problem is, you're incentivizing people to come here with children who potentially aren't theirs. So in order for them to get all the gang members in and different people, they've got to find somebody to. you know, steal a kid from or pay somebody to take their kid so that they can come here and become a priority. We're actually incentivizing human trafficking.
Okay, that's well placed. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that's just silly. Same to women and children. I mean, you extend it all the way out. So find some lady and a kid and snatch them up and force them to come here and then ditch them.
But you see, that logic, and I mean this properly, that logic is not being telegraphed. It's not being reported.
No,
it's not being put out there. You're exactly right. We are, in a way, incentivizing human trafficking.
I mean, we know this from training dogs. You know, my mom's last dog, the dog would bark and she'd say, no more food. And then she'd be like, okay, just a few Cheerios. And she'd like give her. So then the dog would bark some more and she'd say, no, that's it. Okay, just a few more. I mean, it doesn't work with dog training, for heaven's sakes.
No. But again, this movement of all of these hundreds of thousands of invaders, and there are, already here, already on the southern border, still in transit, and the others that are still beginning to form up, this whole program is well-funded. I'm not saying they're being paid, but they're being fed, they're being taken care of. But we had videos, we showed beyond a doubt the porta potties that were left off in various caravan routes, and the food tents and the piles of clothing that were placed there. So when that caravan came to that point, they could get new tennis shoes, they could get whatever. Who funded all that?
Right.
Well, We were able to uncover some of that funding, which I can't discuss, but we were able to uncover some of that funding. It was in the reports that are not public that did go into various agencies. It's a very well-planned process that's taking place before our eyes, which goes back to the previous hour, again, to collapse the sovereignty of the United States, to remove our history, to bring in anyone and everyone and let them run amok and take advantage of us, and then ultimately economically collapse the United States into the New World Order.
Yeah, we're busy convincing everyone that we should get rid of fossil fuels.
Well, it's an effective plan, because at some point we will be on our knees and we will have to submit to a whole new program in order to regain control.
Well, look at California, where you all live.
Yep. Must we? Must we? Really? Really? The unpleasantness here at the end? Hey,
you guys are here.
Hey, crank that up, Ashley. Here's your special song, Lyle. Dr. Lyle Rapacki, guest.
Thank you. Thank you for coming on, Lyle.
Favorite guy.
Yeah, probably be my last time, huh, guys?
No, you got your own theme song now. Thanks a lot. You've been listening to We the People. Join us online. WePeopleRadio.us.